Amen. I love that song. I'm thankful that they sang it this morning, especially as we're getting ready for Easter, and we're thinking of all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. Hasn't he done everything for us? And that's reason for us to say, it's still the cross. I'm still going to live my life to serve him because he did everything for me. And so I'm thankful for that this morning. If you have your Bible with me, take the Word of God with me, and turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. I was praying about what the Lord would have us to have this morning, what his message would be. And I'm thankful that I can pray and say, Lord, I need to know your message. I don't want to bring what I think is good. I need to bring what your message is for this hour. And we believe the Lord has brought us here together this morning. Do you believe that the Lord has saved you? Do you believe that he has given you purpose to your life? And he's brought us here together for the purpose this morning to hear his word, to hear his voice speak to us, to know that God in heaven wants to have a personal relationship and speak to us personally today. That is amazing to think about, isn't it? And as we prepare this morning, I pray that the Lord would lead us by his Spirit. I've been praying that the Lord would lead us to what he would have, and I believe this is what he would have. And I'm thankful for the ways that the Lord reveals the message that he has. I was praying about it, and we've been going through Romans in our devotions at the passage. And then we came to chapter 9, and we were thinking, and we'll speak on that a little bit as well, along with these lines, and thinking of in verse number 33 of chapter 9. And I was, and another confirmation, but verse 33, I'll say in a moment, of chapter 9, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. To those that do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a stumbling stone. But for us that believe on him, he's the cornerstone, isn't he? I'm thankful for that, the name of your church here, Cornerstone. Christ is the chief cornerstone. Everything that in our life can be placed on him, and we can trust in him fully to bear the weight of everything that is going on in our lives. And he will be the foundation of our life if we will allow him to be. But I was thankful we went through that. And then we had talked about some other things. The Lord slipped in there as I was thinking about another message I heard in chapter 1. And we'll read our text here. Chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse number 15. Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I was thankful, the Lord pricking my heart about some of these verses here, showing the need in my life to have a renewed look at these verses. And I was thankful the different ways the Lord confirmed this message. We went skiing yesterday, and on somebody's sweatshirt, they had, I am not ashamed. Romans 1:16. And I was like, wow, okay, Lord, I think I can see how you're guiding and directing in different things. But I'm thankful for these verses. These verses here was the verses that I believe the Lord used in calling me to preach. That verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel. And it almost felt like when the preacher said those words, it felt like the Lord was speaking to me directly and saying, are you ready to preach the gospel? And so I'm thankful for these verses, but I want to come to these and see what the Lord has for us, because these verses we know so well, don't we? We know these verses, but have we considered them? Have we thought about them lately? Especially as we come to this time of Easter. This time of Easter, as we're leading up to it, Palm Sunday today and Easter Sunday, the coming Sunday, we think about all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. But in our hearts, it's easy to maybe glance by all of it, to just go through the motions of Easter, to go through all of the things that happen and just let it be another year, another Easter. All of those things can happen in our lives. But I believe these verses here are what need to stir us up to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you not ashamed? Are you unashamed of the gospel? Then we ought to be bold Christians. I'm convicted about this. I need to be a bolder Christian. I need to be more unashamed in how I present the gospel to people and what I believe about the gospel. And I want to just look at these. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Or have we allowed God to make us unashamed of the gospel, as Paul is? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We see here the Apostle Paul. He's giving this great book. We believe it's the greatest doctrinal treatise on the gospel, is this book of Romans. He lays it out so plain. He lays it out so simple that anyone can understand it. We heard even the testimonies this morning. The Romans Road is often so many times used in giving children even the gospel. And this is something that everyone can understand. God has made his word. God has made the gospel in this way that all might come to know him as Savior. That's God's desire. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is God's desire. And he brings this great book on the gospel of Jesus Christ we see here. And we know that the gospel is through faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in him do we receive the gift of salvation. And we see that as a theme throughout the book of Romans. And he begins this way. He's getting ready. He's saying in these verses here, I am getting ready. I'm about to present to you the gospel. And how amazingly he starts it off saying, I'm preaching the gospel to you, and I am unashamed of this gospel. And I believe there's two things that we'll see here why Paul was unashamed of the gospel. And we see here in these verses, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That'll be the first thing that we look at this morning. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then the second thing, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel, it reveals God's righteousness. And that'll be the second thing that we look at this morning. But have we allowed God to convince us of the power that's in the gospel? Have we allowed God to show us personally in our lives the true power that is in the gospel? Have we allowed God to show us, convince us of the righteousness that only comes by the gospel of Jesus Christ? The righteousness that only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we allowed God to convince us of these things? I believe if we allow him to, then and only then will we be unashamed of the gospel. But without these things, I believe we will. We'll come by another Easter Sunday and we'll miss out on the power of God that was displayed when Christ died for our sins, when he rose again and defeated death, hell, and the grave. We'll go through another Easter and we'll fail to see that Christ risen has defeated death, hell, and sin and has brought righteousness to unworthy sinners. We'll go through another Easter forgetting to see all of that. But if we will allow God to convince us, we will see that this morning. And I want to just pray, and then we'll look at these two things this morning, and then we'll be finished, and we'll go get some lunch, okay? But let's pray this morning, and we'll see what the Lord has for us today. Our Father in heaven, We just praise you for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We pray that you'd help us not to take for granted that, Lord, you have worked everything together for all of us to be here at this time, for you to speak to us, Lord, for us to know your will, to know your power in our lives, to know your righteousness in our lives as we hear this morning. Lord, help us to just be filled with your Spirit now. Lord, we pray that you would allow your word to convict and convince us of sin, Lord, that we would leave here this morning not just the same as we were, but that you would change us, Lord, that you would make us more like your perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you just do this morning in our hearts, that you would receive all the glory and all the honor. And it's in the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The first thing that we see here, the gospel. This is why Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel unashamedly, because it is the power of God unto salvation. What an amazing reality that we can see the power of God displayed when he saves a lost sinner. We heard that in the testimonies this morning, as some of the girls were saying, we just have a boring testimony, and their father or someone said, does God love you? Did God save a sinner that was bound for hell? Did he give you life eternal? There's nothing boring about that. It's the power of God that changes lives. Have you been changed? Have you allowed the gospel to change your life? It's something that Pastor Sexton would always say, is nothing is real until it's personal. We will never know the power of God until we come to know him as Savior. We will never experience his true power working in our lives until we come to know Christ as our Savior. And what does this mean that it's the power of God? If you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I believe Paul here explains it in this great explanation here, as he's speaking to these Corinthian believers. He's speaking to them about divisions among them. He's speaking to them about just these different issues that were going on in their church. But he comes to these verses here. In verse number 17, he begins, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Paul says, my goal here is not to get involved in all of these divisions, all of these things that are going on, not to be in the middle of all of these different things, but to just preach the gospel and let its power go into their lives. "Not with wisdom of words," he says, "lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And this is the power of God, is Christ crucified. Isn't that an amazing reality that we can come to? The world sees a dying, suffering Christ. But when you come to know Christ as Savior, you see a very much alive Savior living inside of you, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The world may see Christ on the cross suffering, but we see Christ risen from the grave. We see Christ living inside, giving us new life. What an amazing reality that is. That is the power of God. The world sees it as this foolishness, but we know, if you have been saved, you know there's power in the gospel. You know that it changes lives. You knew the sinner that you were before you came to know Christ. You knew the life that you were living, the life of sin and ruin and misery in your lives. You knew all of that. But then when you came to know Christ, you knew the power of God to change you. You knew the power of God that gave you life and life eternal. And what a joy it is to know the power of God that is in the gospel. And this is true. Paul says, I can testify to the power of God. Paul says, I know personally that there is power in the gospel. Look in Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Paul says, I experienced firsthand the power of the gospel. In Acts chapter number 9, Saul at the time, his name we know, and it says in verse number 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired unto him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And when the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man, and Saul arose from the earth, when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And we see here the rest of these things as he continued on, and as Paul was changed from that moment on. What an amazing thing. Saul, the one who it says, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against those that professed Christ. He was drastically changed by the gospel. He had that experience where God spoke to him personally. It became real to him. God became real to him in that moment. The Lord Jesus became real to God, to Paul in that moment. And he was able to have his life drastically changed, completely turned around. And now the gospel was what Paul lived for. Every moment of his life, he was living for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said, I know this is the power of God. I know that God's power is working in this. Look in Acts chapter 16, another account where Paul witnesses the power of God in the gospel. We see him and Silas in Philippi, and we see them in the jail here, and we remember these things. And in verse number 25, Paul and Silas in the jail, and they see in verse number 25 of chapter 16 of Acts, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came forth and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him in the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a miracle! Could you imagine that night when they were singing praises unto God, and God brought this earthquake and miraculously loosed them all out of their chains, and the guard there thinking, no, they've all gone, I've failed. The ones that are going to come and judge me, they will certainly kill me for allowing all these prisoners to escape. Can you see it in your mind's eye as that jailer is about to kill himself? He's about to be out of opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's about to be headed straight to an eternity separated from God. In that very moment, Paul says, stop, stop. And he comes and he says, we're all here. We're all here. Don't do anything. We're all here. And in that moment, can you imagine how real the gospel became to that Philippian jailer as he realized the power of God in the gospel? And as he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And in that very moment, that same night, it says, they went and he saved and he led that Philippian jailer and his whole house to the Lord. What an amazing thing. Paul says, I can be a witness firsthand to the power of God that is in the gospel. And I believe that we must have this personal encounter with the power of the gospel. If not, I believe we will be ashamed of the gospel. We will not believe that God can save the vilest of sinners. We will look at this world and we'll say they're too far gone. There's nothing that can help them. There's no one that can help them out of the state that they are in. And God says that he wants to. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And how oftentimes have we just said, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to. I don't really know if they are going to be convinced of the gospel. And really that does, it reveals in our own hearts, doesn't it, that we're not convinced of its power. We're not convinced of God's ability to save even the vilest of sinner. And God says, let me show you my power. Let me show you the almighty power that is in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second thing here, it is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation, but it is also the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel. He says, I'm ready to preach the gospel unashamedly because it's the power, it's the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God revealed. We read in Romans chapter 3, this very idea here, the righteousness of God revealed through the gospel. We know these verses, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 21, Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And these great verses here that we read on, and he says, the gospel is declaring Christ's righteousness. God's righteousness is found in the gospel. And can I tell you, this is the only righteousness. There is no righteousness in our works. There is no righteousness in our lives. We know that. We must remember that every day of our lives, our righteousness is but filthy rags. So oftentimes, I believe, isn't it, in the Christian life, it's easy to be saved, to be living right, to be doing all those things, but then to give the glory to ourselves, isn't it? We may have begun living a life in Christ's righteousness, but Satan has led us to believe that Christ's righteousness is our own personal righteousness. No, Christ's righteousness is the only righteousness that will please the Father. There is no good that is seen in us. There is nothing that the Father sees in us, but he only sees the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness that he sees. We must be reminded of that over and over and over again. Don't we need that so much? Because if we fail to do this back in chapter 1, if we fail to accept the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but me. If we fail to accept his righteousness, verse 18 of chapter 1 says what will happen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If there is no righteousness to be found in us, if there is no righteousness to be found in any other way except the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say that any other place we look will only be found unrighteousness. And God says, I'm revealing my wrath against this unrighteousness. That will be our end, is the wrath of God executed on us if we do not accept the righteousness that only comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know, if you've been here, you're hearing the gospel, if you've been coming to this church, I know without a doubt you've heard the gospel many, many times. You've heard it day in and day out, but have you accepted that there is no other way but Christ's righteousness? Have you accepted that this is the righteousness that's revealed in the gospel? If we do not accept Christ's righteousness, we'll be ashamed. We'll say, no, I don't want to accept his righteousness. I want to accept my own righteousness. We'll say, I want to live a life where I do what's right, where I am the one doing all of the right things. But God says, I can't accept that. Our righteousness is but filthy rags. We must be able to realize that. Ephesians 2, we heard it this morning. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God says to us there, it is my grace that I give you the righteousness of God on our lives. We are undeserving of having his righteousness placed in our lives. Because why? We were enemies of God. We had set ourselves against God. When you think of those verses where we had no deserving of Christ's righteousness to be placed on our life. But Christ said, I love them. I will give my life for them. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that amazing verse we read in Romans chapter 5 is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that an amazing truth to come to realize? Amen. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love. There's nothing but that gives us his righteousness, but his love and his grace toward us. That is what God wants to show us. Don't go about trying to make our own righteousness. Don't go about living the Christian life being deceived that we are righteous. Christ's righteousness is all that will please God. This is what the Lord wants us to see through the gospel. And we want to see that God wants to reveal to us that we need this new heart. Oftentimes we're convinced our heart is going to lead us the right way, isn't it? That's so many times the world says that, don't they? Follow your heart. Follow the desires of your heart, where the word of God tells us that the desires of our heart are wicked, evil things. In Matthew 15, you don't have to turn there, but we know that the word of God reveals to us how wicked and how vile our hearts truly are. In Matthew chapter number 15. But for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that are truly in our hearts. Many people try to shove those desires, to shove those lusts and those desires to do this wickedness. They just try and shove them back as much as they can. But without Christ, they'll always come back. They'll always be there. The evil, the wickedness of our heart will always come forth because that's who we are. We're sinners separated from a holy God. From Adam, we have all been inherited that sin nature. And without Christ, our heart will always lead us to those things. We may think I'm not that bad of a person. We may think all of those things, but haven't you seen maybe you think they're the best person that you could think of, and one little slip led them down a road of ruin and destruction for their lives because that desire of their heart was in there all along. They tried to shove it down all that they could, but they didn't rely on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse them from those things, to give them the answer to all these. That's what we need. We need to uplift Christ in our lives, and He will be able to bring us the victory in these things, the gospel, the righteousness that is revealed through it. And our failure to do this will lead us down that road of sin every time. Every time we fail to accept Christ's righteousness, we have to realize that Christ died for our sins. Christ took the place that we should have taken. And as He died on that cross, that as we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And this verse we know so well, but I don't want to misquote it here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And we know these verses. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a truth. What a truth. He had to be made sin for us. The one who knew no sin. The one who always pleased the Father. The one who was the beloved Son. He became sin. He was despised in the Father's eyes. He was cast out in the Father's eyes. He was put to death so that we might have His righteousness. This is what He did for us. This is what had to take place. And we must never forget that, especially as we come to this time, as we celebrate this time of Easter. Have we realized that? And so as we conclude, have you allowed the Lord to reveal these things to us? Have we made it personal, His power in our lives? The gospel, the power of God, have we allowed Him to make that personal in our lives? Have we done that? If we haven't, we'll be ashamed of the gospel. We won't want to speak of it because we haven't been convinced that it can change people's lives. I'm convicted of this in my own heart. If we've been convinced of the righteousness of God that is revealed in the gospel, the Lord says to us, if we're not, we'll be ashamed. We'll be ashamed of the gospel. We won't believe that it's Christ's righteousness in our place. We'll still go about to make our own righteousness. We'll still seek to please God in our own way. And we will never be able to do that. We need the righteousness of God that only comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would just ask you, would you let the Lord convict you of these things? Would we let the Lord convince us of where we've made the wrong decisions, where we've had the wrong ideas about the gospel? Will we let the Lord not only just show us these, but will we let Him change us today? Let the Lord say, let me show you my power. Let the Lord say to us, let me show you the righteousness that is beyond compare, that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe when we do that, we will be able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God. We'll be able to say that bold and unashamed. But it's only when we allow the Lord to convince us of these things. Right. Our Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you that we can come to your word and to know the truth that is in your word, Lord. We pray that you would just help us to be convinced of your word. Help us not to go away today ashamed of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But let us go from this service today and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us where we failed you, have failed you so often in this, Lord. And help us to be bold for you in this world that needs the gospel, this world that needs your power and your righteousness. And it's in the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.